Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 57 of Pepperdine People. I'm Pete Peterson at Pepperdine School of Public Policy, and I'm joined today by Vance Hicken, who last year was the California Digital Director for President Obama's 2012 campaign. Vance, it's great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Pete. I'm really glad to be here.
Last year was an amazing year for a lot of reasons, and I think the campaign, what's been so interesting about so much of the writing and research and punditry that's come out of the campaign has been the focus not so much on the what of President Obama's message, although that was extremely important, but the how the campaign was conducted. And obviously you had a significant role in putting together the online strategy and campaign specifically here for the state of California. I'm wondering from a personal perspective what that was like coming into the campaign around mid-year last year. What surprised you and kind of what that life was like?
It was an extraordinary opportunity, certainly for me, somebody who was a supporter in 2008 and throughout the first term. My expectations were sky high for sure, but then they were really exceeded in terms of how it felt to be a part of the family, so to speak, but also the complexity of the organization that I joined, really a train that was already in motion. It was daunting at first for sure, but really gratifying to be able to rely on the strategy, to trust the strategy. And in the strategy, I think, really comes from the man himself. He is and was and will always be a community organizer. And for all of the bells and whistles and the sophisticated tools that we used, at the root of all of that was, basically neighbors talking to neighbors, giving as many people as wanted one a piece of that campaign.
I think one of the real interesting things, and you've just spoken at the School of Public Policy to the master's students there, I thought one of the real interesting things about your presentation was that as much as there's been a focus on the technology side, whether it's on the social networking side or on the data mining side, so much of what you did was really using technology as a tool to connect people to people, whether it's on the phone or knocking on doors or any other part of the campaign. But you really made a great point, and obviously the campaign did, of seeing technology not as an end in and of itself, but as a means to connecting people. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that part of the strategy.
Exactly right. With some incredibly smart people and sophisticated tools, the campaign was able to do things at speed and scale maybe that were not previously possible. But underlying that was really an understanding of the electorate, of the political process, and of the model of the voters that we would like to see turn out, or that we were convinced would create a winning coalition. And it comes in really quite in ways mundane and simple form. Organizing and understanding neighborhoods, identifying leaders among neighborhoods that can inherit the job of a staffer at times. One of my favorite aspects of the campaign, we heard it all the time. My counterparts on the field operation would always say, "I'm trying to organize myself out of a job," and that was it was critical. So as a result, training. We placed a huge premium on training in this campaign, because to achieve the scale that we needed, we had to basically what we call a snowflake it out. We needed to get as many people as possible up to speed on things like how to organize a phone bank, how to collect a list of data, how to use our voter database. We placed a really unprecedented amount of trust in volunteers to collect and update and enter data into our system, which, when you suck it all up into the aggregate, enabled the campaign in Chicago to make really critical decisions around the candidate's time and where we placed resources and spent money.
I thought another interesting part of your presentation was a discussion around organization. And in a national campaign, and obviously you're looking at millions and millions of voters in a certain sense, there needs to be a great amount of designation and allowing the local either states or more localized organizations to make their own decisions. But there's still a central message that needs to be coordinated from headquarters as well. And I thought the organizational question around how much freedom the state offices get versus what that message is coming out of the headquarters in Chicago, if you could speak a little bit about that coordination and how you stayed in touch with the national headquarters.
Sure. Well, it was a constant flow and really a partnership. And, you know, we took deadly serious all of the instruction that we got, but also we received an enormous amount of trust and confidence. You know, we knew our volunteers better than any other state or certainly headquarters could hope to. So the important thing was to you know, and we also had to focus on California and the unique attributes of California relative to the race. We weren't terribly focused on winning the state of California. We had a good deal of confidence there. More importantly, California had to help out our neighboring battleground states in Nevada and Colorado in particular. So it became certainly a constant flow of amplifying the message that was coming down, the news of the week, what the president was speaking on or other external events that drove the media conversation. We had a large audience in California, and it was important that we carried the national message. But we also didn't get too deep into the contrast with Governor Romney. That was important to a certain extent, but much more important was our ability to positively motivate volunteers to take their own valuable time and really give their time for free to this this grassroots campaign. So we spent a lot of time trying to showcase and mirror really positive behavior, really amazing people from all walks of life and all ages who gave of their time and organized phone banks or in some cases, trips across the border into Nevada. We wanted to capture that as much as possible and show people doing that in hopes of attracting more people to do that. Lastly, I'd say we used content to, frankly, just convey simple organizing information, coordinates on when and where phone banks were happening, what we really wanted you to share on your own social networks. Just really the nuts and bolts, the simple aspects of if you couldn't make it to a phone bank, let's say, you could definitely make phone calls from BarackObama.com. You could absolutely take the most recent message posted to the California Facebook page and share that among your own networks. So really just conveying that stuff. And then lastly, I'll say Twitter emerged as a really fun and super useful tool, as simple as it is in 140 characters, for us to publish information out. It was also really the easiest and sometimes the most fun thing for our volunteers to do, where they would be at a big phone bank or a rally involving the president. And when they would use their own Twitter accounts and use the hashtags that we would give them and ask them to use, what we saw was that's how hashtags work. It aggregates similar content on that thread. And then we were able to take that content and showcase our California, awesome California volunteers and aggregate that ourselves and, let's say, repackage it for the California blog.
Now, you've just returned from Washington. You were at the inauguration. And one of the, I think, very interesting announcements that was made there was, in a certain sense, a lot of the technology and the organization that was built up through the campaign is going to continue in a different form. It's going to move now to a 501c4 organization. And there's a very interesting piece in the January 29th The Atlantic talking about what they call the permanent campaign, which is the continuation of an organization and using the technology around an election to continue to influence national policy. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit to what the challenges might be there and what some of the opportunities might be, given the work you've done.
It's something that's really exciting, intriguing to me. It's being, you know, spearheaded by some of the senior leadership of the OFA campaign in 2012 and 2008. So these are folks who really know their stuff. You know, on the opportunity side of the ledger, really immense, you know, taking what is probably the largest database ever assembled in American politics that is still very fresh and active, taking that to the next level around, in this case, legislative priorities. And also all of the tools and methodologies that were developed in the course of last year's campaign, and applying that, applying those tools and what we know works. Sometimes it's extremely simple stuff and ways of presenting content, and and other aspects are very sophisticated parts of the data operation and how we analyze data. You know, and to that though, the challenges certainly. Whereas in an election cycle, you have that end date, you have a deadline that everyone and the media and their brother will focus on.
Right.
You lack that clarity and certainty when pushing on specific issues, and so that's the one big thing. We know that there are big moments upcoming or possibly a vote upcoming, but that stuff is never certain.
Right.
So it's definitely a different frame. And also the tools themselves will be different, whereas, you know, a lot of what we did in the election cycle was come out to an event and we'll take care of you when you get there. We'll tell you what to do. What we need now is a different kind of action. We need to see certainly organizing, but, you know, more of a direct communication with elected officials. Maybe it's letter writing to media outlets. It could be a number of different things. And I think, you know, along those lines, just setting expectations on the part of the campaign itself, but also on the part of the volunteers. You know, they won't have this necessarily rolling boil up to a crescendo.
Right.
It'll happen in the way it's going to happen organically. Right. That doesn't make it any less important. In fact, you know, applying this infrastructure to legislative priorities or to the president's second term agenda is something that's never been attempted, but I'm, for one, really psyched to see what it becomes, because I want to see this stuff carry forward.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see. We've been talking with Vance Hicken, the California Digital Director for President Obama's 2012 campaign. If you're interested in finding out a little bit more about the work Vance does, he is the head of his own digital consulting firm, which can be found at the website ghway.com. That's ghway.com. This has been Pete Peterson from the School of Public Policy for Pepperdine People. Thanks for listening.